Welcome to our CRPM podcast. In this episode, we will be talking about circular economy and just transition. And recording of this podcast is part of the CRPM conference that we are celebrating today. I have the honor to welcome our international guests here, Karolina Zubel from Poland and Amar Czałszewicz from Bosnia-Herzegovina. Welcome, Karolina. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, of course. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me here. My name is Karolina Zubel. I represent CASE, which actually stands for Center for Social and Economic Research. We are a Warsaw-based think tank.
Perfect. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure having you. And our second guest is Amar Czałszewicz. Amar, would you like to also introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. Thank you for the invitation. My name is Amar Czałszewicz. I come from, I'm Bosnian national, but I've been living and working for the last couple of years in Stockholm, Sweden. Today, I'm working currently for Morningstar Sustainalytics, which is a company providing ESG data services. However, I'm not here in the capacity of my current employment. I was invited to this conference to discuss climate finance research connected to my previous employment, which was for the Swedish think tank called Stockholm Environment Institute. And being Bosnian and conducting a research on Western Balkans and climate finance, I'm going to join you today to discuss that topic in that capacity.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So we will have also the perspective from different regions and different expertise. So maybe first question to our listeners is like, how do you understand circular economy and why the circular economy model is important for the transition that we are having right now and also combating climate change?
Of course, the circular economy concept is like super broad. I would say that Poland is no different than other EU member states or the overall developed countries when it comes to seeing this circularity gap. What I mean by that is especially related to materials footprint. We still produce much more than we actually need. People do not recycle. People throw things away. So having this particular thing in mind, when we think about Poland, their broader Central and Eastern European region, I definitely see three sort of groups of those benefits that are linked to transitioning to circular economy. Of course, environmental ones. This is a very broad group, I would say, but surely the biggest advantage here is related to the fact that we will be producing in a way which is smarter, basically using materials that we can recycle, using less materials, so the footprint will be less and less visible for us. But also in terms of the whole of the whole life of each and every produce that we use, of course, the change will be very much visible here. As for the economic aspects, so the second group here, I would say that this will be crucial for the coal regions. As you know, Poland, Czechia, are doing their best to phase out coal. And in terms of just transition, when you actually think about responsible production, but also responsible consumption, perhaps this is something that will boost those green jobs for those regions that are very much in need of those, instead of, you know, working in the coal and mining sectors. Last but not least, the societal groups of this the one that is directly linked to society is, of course, huge here. We're talking about raising awareness of people on how they can use products and recycle those. So I see a lot of potential here also when it comes to advocating, educating people, which is once again very crucial for the CEE when we also try to link the circular economy with the just transition of especially coal regions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned a couple of very important points. We will come to some of them a little bit later. And Amar, how about your perspective? You come from Bosnia and Western Balkan region is also very familiar to you, but you've been working and living also in Stockholm. So maybe how is your perspective?
I have a very, very mixed perspective, and I'll tell you why. So there's three perspectives. I live in Sweden for the last 8 years. Sweden being the front runner in the EU, I would say being the top performer in the EU, going ahead of in sustainability matters, maybe I would clearly say maybe even ahead of Germany and many others, couple of steps. So Sweden is the circular economy master in the EU, meaning being top in the world. I come from Bosnia. I'm very much connected to my country. I have family there. I go there. I read. I'm informed. I worked on Bosnia on a couple of occasions. So I have that connection. And I've been working and being educated in sustainability. So understanding sustainability per se, coming from one place which lags in many, many issues, circular economy included, and living and working in top performer. I would, to start with this, maybe I'll start like this. Sustainability, in my view, as I've learned and learned through the business, is like an organism. It's a very complex subject and it goes on many fronts. And circular economy is the systemic approach. So you are producing something in a sustainable, first you're sourcing something in a sustainable way, producing, using and disposing it in a sustainable way. And in order to have this system, you need to have political, socioeconomic model, and which are interconnected in a perfect way. So they function to the extent when you source a material, you produce it, you use it, and you dispose of it. For example, Sweden did a really good job in that. And I think waste management is one of the examples there. I know like more than I think 97% of the waste in that country is recycled or burned or disposed of. Just 3% is being ended up on landfills or somewhere else. And I was thinking about it because in Bosnia, let's say, waste was a huge issue, the landfills and the other issues. And I realized that when my kids go to kindergarten in Sweden, they learn them how to recycle. And then the entire system of laws, economic incentives, infrastructure and support by the government in Sweden for the last 30, 40 years was built in this way. So we have the result that in 2024, this is being done. In Bosnia, we're not even close to that. And then you just realized that besides money, you need a lot of knowledge and political will and stability to build circular economy. Easier said than done in many countries. And thinking about circularity, I think it's possible. It's, as we say in Bosnia, we are not inventing hot water. But I think that when we think about circular economy, there are different standards. And let's say being Bosnian, Macedonian, Serb, or Albanian, in the context of your think tank, I would learn from Poland, Estonia, Slovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Romania, because it's easier for the Western Balkan countries, which are on socioeconomic development less, to learn from these countries, which are ahead of the Western Balkans in many socioeconomic development indicators, including circular economy, than to jumpstart and say, okay, let's see what Finland is doing. Let's see what Denmark is doing, or Sweden, Austria. No. So I think it's a process. It's a long one. It needs political, social, and economic factors. They need to be aligned. Also population itself, political elites, they need to think about it. So it's a two-way stream process. They need support. You need funding. Some of the funding can come externally. Some of the funding can come internally. But I think countries themselves need to put a lot of effort and drive this process, because if you want to become circular, EU can help, World Bank can help, IMF, whoever you want, they can help. But Macedonians, Bosnians, Serbs, they need to own the process. And it's hard being in a country where average net monthly salary is between, I don't know, 300 to 600 euros. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think Bosnia is like around 450 to 500 euros. And let's say Sweden at the same time is like net average salaries around 2,000, 2,500 euros. If I'm missing the numbers, I think I'm getting the ballpark right. And in Bosnia, you think, talk to my cousins, neighbors, my friends, you know, how am I going to get by, buy milk, you know, finance something. In Sweden, you can think better, or in Denmark, because you have socioeconomic security. So thinking about circular, you can focus on this. In Bosnia, you are getting by. In Macedonia, like, I want to get by from first to first. In Sweden, you have more leverage, then you have a luxury to think about it. However, that being said, there are other higher income countries with a lower economic standard, if I may say, when I compare Poland to Sweden, that did certain stuff, or Estonia. You learn from them, and it will take us time, but it can be done. But just to summarize here, it's a complex process, it takes time, and it needs a couple of things to be aligned. Did I get it here, or did I went off the track?
You did it perfectly. I especially like that you made this comparison about Western Balkan and Central Europe, Visegrad countries, and that are closer, because somehow the topic looks very complex, and like then people kind of give up at the beginning. So it's kind of step-by-step process, and it's better to look maybe at the examples that are a little bit more ahead than us. Yes.
And learn from them.
Yes.
And also, let me just add one more comment. When I worked on Bosnia, on the, it's called BiH ESAP, that was a Bosnia-Herzegovina Environmental Strategy project. Sorry if I missed a word, but yeah, 2030. Also, you can learn from countries in Africa and South America, or even parts of Asia, which are not Japan or South Korea. And we were organizing different workshops, and Bosnian participants didn't like it, because they didn't like when you introduce them, I don't know, Nigerian experience or Ethiopian experience. I don't know why is this. We can maybe guess, but it's not, maybe not the part of this podcast. But also there are countries in other parts of the world which are developing and which are maybe less developed than Western Balkan countries, but they did an amazing job on how to integrate just transition, or how to develop blended finance mechanisms to fund projects. You can also learn from them. So besides Europe, there are parts of the world you can really, in emerging markets, you can get great experiences. And I think if you expose the Western Balkan countries to these, you can, you know, take some of the experiences and remodel them to your own context. I'm going to stop here.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Maybe back to Karolina. You mentioned also this switch in the attitude and awareness. You've been part also on some of the projects that work with more of the local level communities. Maybe can you share the experience and the successes that you had with working with such projects?
I must say I'm really glad that you've mentioned this bottom-up approach and local communities, because in fact, I do believe that in Poland, besides the regulations, legislation that is finally there when it comes to circular economy and all the things that are stemming from the EU Green Deal also, those most inspiring stories actually happen in the local urban context. So even though the Polish cities, especially Warsaw, are not pioneers in any of those, you know, smart city index contests, I would say that they're rather rather far away from the first 10 or first 20 even in the EU. There's a lot of things happening even in small Polish cities, and what I mean by that is the fact that, you know, those crazy stories about sharing cars and bikes are already there for like a decade or so, and we are finally focusing on the well-being in a broader sense. So we're really taking care of the green environment, we're really taking care finally of the quality of air, which was of course a huge topic in Poland for the last decade or so, because the air quality is not the best, as you may imagine. And all those projects that are trying to decarbonize one city and then another are very much involving local stakeholders. I actually had a chance to work
on a project called Green Heat, which was essentially about changing the gas heating boilers mm-hmm. in one of the cities close to Warsaw. And I was astonished and really surprised by the number of people from the local community that were very keen on taking part in our workshops, suggesting things, trying to pilot some good solutions together with us. And this is just an example of a city close to Warsaw, which is not a capital, not a huge city known as such. So this actually provides a very good example, I guess, for the Western Balkans, for other regions. But you know, that there's a long list of such case studies that could be actually effective. The other project I have in mind, which can be an inspiration, I guess, is about building the aquaponic farm in the city. It was actually in the city of Wrocław. So once again, we're talking about a bigger municipality, a metropole maybe even, where we basically created and built the farm where you can produce both plants and some fish as well. But what was very innovative about this was the fact that we also used the rainwater. So you are using the resources you have. Mm-hmm. Everything is circular. And, you know, it happens in Wrocław, which is also one of the just transition regions that we are really taking care of at the moment. So all those stories show me that, first of all, technology, of course, is very important. Oftentimes it's very capital intensive, so you need to keep that in mind. But it won't be a successful story without the local stakeholders, without their acceptance, without their participation, co-creation, co-development. So perhaps if you ask me about lessons learned that could be then transferred to other regions, I would say that cities should network as much as they can, because lessons learned can be shared. It doesn't mean that every idea will work best in every scenario, but if you have already some background, it very much builds the success of a project in another location. And as long as you keep this resilience goal in mind, it's a very good way to start.
Mm-hmm. I love that cities should network.
There's so many platforms on that already. Mm-hmm. Like, we just basically need to use them better.
Yeah, in a smarter way. And especially like Amar also shared, maybe like be open to different, like the inspiration can come from any country. We are maybe a little bit stuck in this old thinking that some countries are more ahead than others, but in some ways the community level is working much better in some of the countries.
Yeah, you wouldn't also, I don't know, I saw the interview the other day with a financial professional, because I work in finance, and he said like he's 45 now, and he's leading a asset management fund in Abu Dhabi in Emirates. And he said, when I looked for internships 20 years ago when he graduated, London, Paris, and New York were the cities where I would like to do internship. My candidates today, or people who are graduating from across the world today, are looking at Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Singapore. So you see how the world, so it's maybe, as I understood him and according to him, working in Abu Dhabi today when it comes to, let's say, finance, would be more attractive for many top graduates than, let's say, Berlin, which was like 20 years ago. So you see how the world changes or keep changing, and we can learn from each other. And what's also good when you work on a local level,